On Aspire with Emma Greed, I sit down with people who don't just dream big, they build big. From Mark Cuban to Mel Robbins, we talk about mindset, ambition, and the work that actually moves the needle. Listen to Aspire with me, Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast available now.
Portland's favorite morning roast.
I was listening to the boys this morning.
It's time for your Sunrise Guys.
They've got really good meat.
They got great meat.
Dirt and Sprague.
No, dude, get right to the meat.
On the Fan Sports Network.
Hey, let's do this final hour. Dirt and Sprague, Portland sports leader. 105.1 FM, The Fan, 1080 AM, the Odyssey app, live on YouTube. Good morning, everybody. Hope your Mondays are off to a great start. So much to get to out of the weekend. You know what we said about today's show?
There's no turds here.
Dan, there's no turds here, all right? There's a lot to get to. We did about an hour on the Blazers.
We did.
Talked a little bit of football. Not a ton of football on the show today. I got some more football stuff kind of reserved for the notes tomorrow. I wanted to kind of holster a few things that weren't super timely.
It's been Masters, Blazers, and a Reuben Bain and WNBA draft
segment. That's basically the show. Yeah. And I'm going to get back to one of those topics right now. Because I'm curious where we would go. So we talked about it in the first hour of the show. I'd be curious to see what the number ends up being. I can't remember it off the top of my head from last year. But I imagine the Masters number from yesterday will be pretty solid, right? You had perfect weather. No impacts in terms of tee time startage, because sometimes you got to move it up or change it around, or there's a stoppage if you get a clumsy weather weekend. That certainly was not the case. The last two names on the leaderboard were Scottie Scheffler and Rory McIlroy, who are easily the two biggest names in golf right now. Sounds like a Bryson DeChambeau. And so you had these massive names, this big-time figure winning, his second straight green jacket. And so it was a pretty iconic Masters. I think it's one that will go down. It will not be one that we forget of, like, oh, yeah, who won that year? How did it? Like, that's one, whenever a guy wins back-to-back, you're going to remember it. McIlroy's now at six. Did you have a thought that you want to jump in before I answer ask my question?
Well, no, I didn't mean to interrupt you there. I was just looking through some of the TV ratings, and I think, like, McIlroy winning six, which I assume you're teeing up some question.
Yeah.
And maybe I'm answering the question without you asking it. Are we going to remember this Masters just for Rory? Are we going to remember this Masters as the crossover change of the way the Masters is broadcast and dealt to us?
Maybe a little bit of both, depending on where it goes in years to come.
Because it really crossed over into pop culture, you know, McAfee-ish-like television, right? I think, in the par three.
There were some great articles about how does the Masters continue to be the Masters and not lose being the Masters while also trying to embrace a larger audience. And that's a very difficult needle to thread.
Well,
because it's such a unique
event. I mean, the event itself is, I don't think, ever going to change, but it's like the stuff around the event.
Right.
You know, I noticed people were complaining on, and look, social media can be wrong and full of bots. People were legitimately talking about how many influencers were allowed to be at the Masters this year in a way that they had never seen before.
Right.
And I know sports fans who put their name in the lottery. I had to talk to my mom this weekend about the lottery.
It opens up in June.
Dude, my mom was watching the match. She's like,
was she really?
Yeah, dude. I was talking to all these different golfers. She told me about the Sergio club break, but she told me it was Scheffler. And I'm like,
what?
No way he did.
Scotty!
And then she goes, here it is. And it said Sergio and the Spanish rat.
Yes.
And so, like, it was interesting watching it with her. And I told her about the lottery system. And
opens up in June. For the entire month of June, you can go enter at masters.com.
I walked her through it, how to enter, how much it actually costs. It's like, the cool thing about the Masters is it's not that expensive a ticket if you get picked.
Yep.
But you got to cover your airfare. You know how many days you'll get. And the food on the course is cheap. You see that egg salad hat that the guy was wearing?
Pimento
was out there. Like, that stuff's traditional, but how much stuff around the Masters changed this year in a way that a lot of golf purists hated?
Yes.
And even golf fans who are not the diest of diehard golf fans hated. And I kind of wonder, not only with Rory winning six, how much the event is changing on television from where it was just 2, 3, 4 years ago.
It's a very complicated question of how do you stay true to your roots while also trying to embrace a larger audience but not pissing off your most important audience. It's not an easy thing to do.
Right.
Right, because the people who love the Masters love it for what it is and have always loved it for what it is. But you also, I think in any sport, you're always looking for what? You want a bigger tent and a bigger umbrella, and how many people can we bring into the fold? But in order to do that, are you doing it? Is there something you're doing along the way that's losing you a percentage or a chunk of the original audience? I don't think the answer is yes, but is there ever anything that they could do that did lose them that? I mean, that's a question that will be followed in the years to come, because this one did feel very different. They added Amazon Prime to the mix. ESPN has been involved in a long time, but I thought ESPN had a horrendous broadcast this year on the way that they missed moments. They were cutting away at different random times. They just I thought it was very clunky, and I don't know if it was a new producer behind the scenes. It's incredibly difficult to produce golf on television because of how many different active shots you have to go, how many players are on the court. It's not like you're following an NBA game where you're just panning the camera back and forth as they go up and down the floor and then zoom in when the guy's shooting a free throw. You got, you know, 80 players on the course at any given time, and they're on every single hole, and you're trying to follow all of it and certain players. So I grant them that it's not an easy thing to do. But I thought ESPN was very clunky. The Paramount Plus thing early in the morning pisses people off because then it's behind a paywall to watch. The Masters app is the alleviator to all of this, but you are not wrong that it did change the way that a lot of it went behind the scenes and broadcasting-wise changed this year.
Well, the Masters also, I looked it up, the par 3 contest, 52% increase.
Yeah. And that's the thing.
So, like,
if you get Kevin Hart on social media and Jason Kelce eating a pimento sandwich
in a uniform, Laura Rutledge was out there, and like some of these people do traditional other sports. But all I'm asking or wondering is, like, are we 3 years away from Jake Paul and Paige Sporanic playing in the par three contest? Because half the golfers don't care.
Did you see Wyndham Clark's comments, by the way? Let me ask this question.
I did not.
Funny or offensive? You have to pick one.
Oh, come on, man. Don't play this.
Now, I don't
know. Racist? Not racist.
I don't know if this happened live with SVP.
Okay.
But it was sometime after the par three, and maybe it was after his round three. I don't know when it happened. I just know the quote happened.
Okay.
And he was asked his experience and feeling playing the par three tournament. And he said, it's a lot of fun. I had a great time. Mm-hmm. It also serves as a great birth control. And a lot of people were very offended by that.
As a great birth control?
Because of all the kids running around the course and sitting in the bunker and I'm sure crying. I mean, there's 2-year-olds and 1-year-olds out there, dude. Like, they don't know they're at the Masters. They're melting down. Like, I have a 2-year-old at home.
Opposed
I know how
to, like,
it goes.
You want it to not be birth control?
I don't know. But a lot of people saw that and were like, how dare he say that?
Really?
And I just... part of me chuckled, and I'm like, well, I guess I can see why that's a little offensive to some, but...
Just an odd comment is what I would say to that.
Very Wyndham Clarky of him,
yeah,
is what you would say.
Last year's ratings, by the way, they had 12.7 million viewers. It was their highest since 2018.
Okay.
Do you think this year's will ultimately top
it? I do. I think
it
will.
If the par 3's up 52%.
I think that it will top it.
And it's great that Rory won it, right? He became the fourth player ever to win back-to-back. It's a 6th major championship. He's tied for the second most since 1986, just behind Tiger. You said it earlier in the 6 a.m. hour, and I think it's worth repeating. If you didn't think last year he definitely did this year in passing Phil Mickelson as the second greatest golfer since Jack.
Yeah.
It's Tiger and then him.
That's it.
So I think it's great for the sport that he repeated. I think it's great that you had Scotty went on a heater, finished just one stroke behind him. You had Rosie right there to try to win his first. He continues to change it. I thought the leaderboard was great. You got to see some new golfers that have certainly made their names, but not maybe onto the national level the way that other golfers had. So,
for sure.
You know, I thought everything involved, it's great. I just wonder, what is the future of this course? I saw a photo from 1952 of the 12th par 3. Dude, have you seen this photo? It's a split image.
Oh, it looks like it's a muni course
there's
overgrown.
There's a fence in the back, and none of the flowers and bushes and plants are there. The straw's not even there. It's just a grassy knoll that's not been cut, and now you look at it, and it's perfectly, you know, manicured. It's there's no fence anymore. It's like it's so perfect. So much changes, and I'm not anti-change. I just, like, what's the thing that gets dirt hopping mad? Like the par three, I don't think you were that upset, although you didn't like some of the stuff.
Mad is not a good descriptor. It was more of just kind of a disgruntled, like,
but if that par three legitimately in 5 years does become half of like a celebrity influencer,
you're gonna lose me on it. That's where you'll lose. I don't think that it'll ever impact the actual tournament. Like, I don't think that it'll ever take to that level.
Right.
But if you turn the par three into a sidecar show, like the All-Star Celebrity Game at NBA Weekend, NBA All-Star Weekend, you'll lose.
And that's what I wonder is, they're so good and old school of keeping up things the way that they want it to be done.
Yeah.
But this year, they kind of gave in a little bit, and some of that's the TV choice too, but it's just very interesting to watch all of that was involved with the Masters. But I think it's great for the sport that Rory repeated.
Well, and I'm going to get to that because it was, you know, we make a lot of fun of Joe Fisher around here because he was anti-Rory and he couldn't win a major championship and he wasn't clutch. And
I still think he is anti-Rory.
Yeah, I mean, it's just the funny retort I always had to it was, how can a guy who has four majors not be clutch? Like, this doesn't make any sense. If you want to say a guy who's never won one before can't win one, I still disagree with saying can't. He hasn't, but... Mm-hmm. The terminology you want to use is what you want to use. Like, he already had won four major championships. He just went a long time without winning one, and now I think the exciting part of the weekend was, where does it go from here? So I want to ask that question on the other side. Where do people think it? I'll put a poll question up on that. Over-under, I'm going to set it 9.5. Would you take the over or would you take the under? And then, pivoting a little bit to another sport, a rookie season came to an end, and I'm wondering where we put this guy in the pantheon of the future of this league. So all that's still to come. We're back after this. 105.1 FM, The Fan.
Are you looking for a pro football podcast that doesn't put you to sleep with spreadsheets or insult you with mindless hot takes? Football is fun. Why shouldn't your football podcast be the same?
Follow and listen to Heed the Call NFL podcast with Dan Hanses and Mark Sessler wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, evidently YouTube's down. Our apologies.
But yeah, I looked over. I saw a bird on your computer screen, like, laying eggs or something. I'm like, what's going on here?
I mean, birds are pretty cool.
I love birds.
Birds are pretty badass.
Yeah.
It's one of the best parts about the Masters, hearing the birds chirping.
There was a update on the 60 Minutes last night.
On the birds?
Not birds, but there was an animal fup
date. An animal fup date on 60 Minutes?
On 60 Minutes.
What was the animal fup date? What did they talk about?
I'll tell you on the fup date.
Oh, okay. Got to tease me?
You should watch the video. It's actually a really cool story going on right now, but yeah. I love a good animal story.
I will ask this. I'm going to get to a player whose season came to an end yesterday, and I will tell you who that is and just kind of our thoughts on where he goes from here. But I think the most captivating thing out of the Masters is the history that Rory made, right? He wins back-to-back, only the fourth time we've ever seen that happen in the history of the Masters tournament. That was the 90th playing of it, so it's a very, very rare feat for somebody to win back-to-back Masters. He obviously got the career Grand Slam done last year. He is now at six majors, which puts him, as you pointed out in the last segment, when you're looking at the modern era, right, of our lifetime, the only person who has won more majors in the last 40 years than Rory McIlroy's Tiger Woods, who got to 15. And for a long time early in his career, the thought for Rory was, oh, my God, he's the next coming, right? Like, he won four so quickly and probably should have had five if he didn't blow the lead at the 2011 Masters. It's crazy to think how different his story is. Because he would have won the career Grand Slam rapidly, and maybe he doesn't go through all these mental demons, right? But we thought, hey, when he won four and he's in his mid-20s, where's this guy going to go?
Yeah.
This guy's limit. Then he didn't win one for a decade. Now he's won one in back-to-back years, and who knows where the rest of the year goes. If I set the over-under for him at 9.5.
Oh, man.
9.5.
I'm taking the under.
You're going to take the under on Rory McIlroy.
He's incredibly special. What he just did is something I've only seen done once in my, like, conscious lifetime watching sports. I was way too young for Nick Faldo.
He's 36, by the way. He turns 37 in like 3 weeks. Early May, he turns 37 years old.
So 9.5 tells me you think he wins
four more.
He very
four
well
more.
Could. I know the Open Championship always means something a little more. Mm-hmm. It's up there with the Masters for him. I'm just asking a lot. Like,
to see
a guy win double-digit majors in a career.
How many green jackets do you think he ends up with?
I think this is it.
You don't think he's going to win another one? Two and done.
Well, yeah. Yeah, okay. I bet it. That'd be my bet.
Okay.
He plays the course really well.
He knows it like the back of his hand at this point.
I just also, the field's as deep as it's ever been, so I'm just going to kind of take the field there against one guy. It's not quite Tiger versus the field stuff for me, although it is incredibly impressive what he's done.
No doubt. He's not to that level
but
if he's just going to steamroll
four
in every
more,
tournament.
Yeah, if you're going to give me any value at all to bet the under there, three? Yeah.
Imagine the over would be plus money and the under would be minus money in this scenario. If I were a bookie putting some odds on this thing, I'd probably say like a plus 150, minus 200 scenario, somewhere in that range.
If you're just looking total, yeah, dude, only three guys have double digits.
I know.
Ben Hogan has nine. Well, Gary Player with nine.
To the point though,
eight.
To the point though, in our lifetimes, how many have we seen win six?
Yeah, exactly.
It's Phil, Tiger and Rory.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
So he's already reached a rarefied air in terms of the last 40 years of golf.
But four more is so much.
I get
much.
It. Swag, would you take the over-under of 9.5?
Do you think he's going to get to 10?
I do. One.
Wow, that's crazy.
I find it interesting you don't think he'll win another Masters.
It's not that I don't. Well, I mean, but you're asking me to pick one side or the other. I'm going to take this incredibly talented deep field versus him.
I mean, in your defense, he almost blew a six-shot lead this year. And last year, he got a little uncomfortable. So even with the monkey off his back, he still makes it uncomfortable.
Other than always back injuries are touchy. But he's been relatively healthy throughout mm-hmm. his career. He hasn't. I'm not aware of any major surgeries or any major things that he's dealt with.
But he's one away from tying Arnie.
I know.
Yes,
that's insane.
So
he might get it this year. For all we know, could. They got three more to go this year.
Yeah.
I think now he is completely freed up. I think he is playing for legacy. He will pick and choose. He doesn't have to play any tournament he doesn't want to, no matter.
He gets the benefit to do whatever he wants. Yeah.
Even if he's supposed to play these signature events and he takes a $5 million fine for that, he doesn't care.
He spent the 3 weeks leading up to this tournament. Did you hear him talk about what his routine was? This is the life Rory McIlroy's living. Yeah, he didn't play for 3 weeks before.
No, he went to Augusta players, and done. Played some practice rounds.
He would drop his kid off at school in the morning, jump on his private jet, fly to Augusta, land, play 18 holes,
and fly back and be home
in time for dinner.
Well, flight, what is that flight, an hour?
I mean, from Jupiter, probably
from
not.
From Jupiter to Augusta.
It's like Portland to Seattle in a private jet, not that far.
So you're taking the over of 9.5?
I think I would take the over, too.
Yeah.
I think he's going to get at least one more Masters. I think his course knowledge and his where he's at in his career.
And as long as he can still hit it 330, 340 when he needs to.
I'd have a hard time not seeing him get one more. I think he's three in a row, probably not going to happen.
I think he's going to win at least one or two more Claret Jugs because he knows how to play golf in that part. I mean, there's going to be some more in Ireland. So.
Well, the other part of it now is he is now a U.S. Open and an Open Championship away from double-lapping the Grand Slam.
If they play, Congressionals in a rotation, that's where he lapped the field when he won the Open by like 10 shots or whatever.
Yeah, you would think he'd have two Opens and not two PGAs.
He's got two PGAs, two Masters,
They're
one Open.
They're at Shinnecock Hills for the U.S. Open this year where you limit the field to the guys that can bomb it. So your winning potential field of players is 6 or 7 going into it.
I'm just trying to extrapolate. So how old is Justin Rose?
Only
right
two
now?
Guys.
Justin
have...
Rose is 45.
So he's 45. So he's about 9 years older than Rory right now. Nine years.
Only two guys, by the way, have doubled up the Grand Slam.
Yeah, just Tiger and Jack, right?
Tiger and Jack.
And I think in order to get to 10, you would have to tick off, what, one every other year, give or take, over the next 8 to 9. And I think he has 8 to 9 years. And that's, I think... That's what I'm leaning on, is that he went so long without winning one, and it became this kind of thing that he couldn't overcome. But even in that stretch, I brought this up earlier, how close was he to winning multiple, right? Like, you're a 2-foot putt away from winning a U.S. Open 2 years ago.
The Open Championship to Cam
at St. Andrews, like, where like Cam comes out of nowhere, and Rory played great. He just couldn't make a putt that day, and I think he ended up shooting even par or one under. He played very good, efficient golf. He just needed to make one or two more birdies, and he would have won the tournament. And so he's been, it's not like he came out of nowhere and then he faded to obscurity. It's not like a Jordan Spieth take where it's like, that guy hasn't been relevant, it feels like, in a major in a long time. He's been there. He's been close for so many years that I think it would take the over. And just what would that mean for the game of golf, too, to get the guy to a double digits?
See a guy at 10 major championships and join the Tiger and Jack Club.
Yeah, does anybody else have 10?
No.
Is that it?
No, Walter Hagen has 11.
Yeah. Post-World War II, nobody else has 10.
1914 and 1929, he's got 11. So you got Tiger, Jack.
He won 11 in 15 years. Yeah. Like, just stop it.
Field was deep.
Stop it.
That was tough.
So it would give him the third most majors in the history of
golf. Look, him being better than Phil now with that win is crazy to me. It's also nuts. He's one away from tying Arnie.
Yeah, you would tie. I mean, the modern golfers that we know, where Arnold Palmer has 7, Sam Snead has 7. Bobby Jones is obviously a well-known name. His career ended.
Trevino's got 6 now. He's tied with Trevino.
He's tied with
Faldo.
Trevino, Faldo, and Phil Mickelson. Yeah. Those are the category with 6. Once you get to 7, then you're creeping up on Tom Watson with 8. Who ironically never won the PGA Championship, so he never had a career Grand Slam. He did win 5 Open Championships and 2 Masters, and then Gary Player and Ben Hogan are at 9.
He's also in the 36 club. I saw this from Kyle Porter. So 30 PGA Tour wins and 6 majors. He joins Jack, Tiger, Phil, Arnie, Snead, Watson, Hogan, Hagen, Sarazan.
Yeah. Of guys who are of the modern world of golf, that's a very limited list.
I mean, critiquing him is like critiquing Magic Johnson at this point.
He only won 6,
like, why would you do that?
The guy's a bum. Anyway, I thought it was great. I'd be curious to see what the numbers were. We talked a lot about it earlier, played some audio and all that. But it just, where his career goes to me is why this is so fun to talk about. Mm-hmm. Because we're now back to that point we were 10 years ago of thinking, God, this guy's a limit for this guy. And he didn't win for a decade. So maybe he surprises us and doesn't. You're right. And he doesn't win another major for 10 years. Yep. Has he gone on a stretch like that before in his career? Yeah. It's not like it's unthinkable.
Where all of his focus before was on winning the Masters. That was it was a singular focus. And maybe he was too wound up for it at for part of that. Now he's just, okay.
Got another one. Let's go get another one.
Let's go play. Let's work on my game. And I'm going to focus on, you know, I don't think we'll see him. I'll be curious. And obviously the other piece of it is obviously with a young daughter and wanting to spend time, more time watching her grow up.
Mm-hmm.
He'll pick and choose his spots, and that's no different than any of the top golfers once they achieve that level. So I don't want to, you know, that's what everybody did. But he also very much appreciates history and legacy and what it means and the guys that came before him and the Sevies and the Jose mm-hmm. Marias. And
that's why he was so adamantly defending of the PGA Tour.
Yeah.
And the legacy of the tour and everything that it meant.
Well, I think that's a fallout, too, I saw from Patty Reed, who had a nice weekend until the final round himself. Like, that dude's back in the PGA, and he was asked why, and he basically summed it up, which is why you're seeing all these people abandon LIV. Bryson will be next. He said the competition cannot be matched. Traditional golf cannot be matched. Yeah. He said, I had tournaments where I was on the range, and the way that their scoring system worked, they would basically tell me before I teed off, by the eighth hole of whoever else's group was ahead, it's over. So I'd be like teeing off for no reason. Very exactly. weird. He's like, you cannot match what this is. And he said it felt great to be back and have that kind of intensity in his life.
Yeah.
And so, like, we debated the LIV stuff. Do you take the bag? Do you not take? Dude, I just think we're two more years away. Like, who else is going to be on that tour?
Yeah, once all those big name players that are still in the age where they can be competitive.
You can't match what the PGA is.
They'll be back.
No, it's just, I mean, it's the best tour on the planet, and it gives you world-class golf courses week after week, and you're not also an international tour. So for some of the international guys, it will always make sense to me. You wanted to, like, you know, Smith wanting to have a tournament in Australia, and that's like his backyard, sure. He's a hero there. Like, there's certain angles of it that I get. For an American player, you want to go play in Singapore and Dubai, and like, what are we doing here, man?
And the
like,
way that they're going to retool the PGA Tour, so if you can get up into the highest rankings, and the purses that have increased, all of that stuff, like, if you can keep your game up there, you're going to have an opportunity to make
An insane amount of
boatloads.
Money. Yeah, I just, you know, I don't like doing the LIV thing of the guys lost their, you know, because he had Tyrrell Hatton had a great week or a great Friday and a great Sunday.
Clutch putt on 18 to save like par and finish.
Right? It was huge. And so, like, we do this, like, see, LIV's killing the guys, and then there's a LIV guy in the top five. And it's like, well, not really. Everybody is a case-by-case basis.
Yeah.
But I do, there is a part of me deep down that will always, without being able to prove it, say that there's just a little bit of the fire that gets diminished when there's guaranteed money and not as much on the line week in and week out as there was on the previous setting in the previous tour that you played for, and you lose a little bit of that drive. And so we'll see where it goes from here. I tend to agree with you. I think more guys will jump over. By the way, last one, who gets more when it's all said and done, Scotty or Rory? Rory's
question.
At six, Scotty's at four.
I'm gonna go Scotty.
Scotty's 30, so he's 6 years
Scotty
younger.
I think Scotty's going to finish with seven.
Do each of them get one this year?
Yes.
So Rory's already got one. So you think Scotty gets one? If he wins one, he'll be at five.
Scotty, to me, this is crazy to say because he didn't win it, and Rory did. I feel a little more confidence betting Scotty going into a tournament.
He doesn't have a 10-year drought in his career not winning a major. Yeah.
I also think you should always be live betting golf more than picking like before the tournament.
His odds after Friday were incredible, and I jumped on them. I didn't win, but I bet on him to win the tournament.
I bet you have Friday his top 5 and 10 finishes like were decent payouts.
Very good, because he was even, and then 11 under on the weekend.
Yeah.
He just needs to learn how to not make himself need to go 11 under on the weekend.
Right.
Let's balance this thing out a little bit, Scotty. Right. He won two majors, though I'm sure he'll be fine last year. Let's get to the question about this guy and where he fits into the future of the Western Conference, because his season came to an end yesterday. I'm just curious how we feel about after year one and how it affects our local team. We'll talk about that next. All right, welcome back, Kim. 9:36 on your Monday morning.
I will give Joe Fisher credit. He'll get into the conversation about his wrong take.
I mean,
he doesn't back down.
That's the problem, though. Like,
is he still trying to defend it, though?
He's still defending the take. Like, it's one of the worst takes ever uttered on the station.
It is.
Like, just pure idiocy.
Wait,
like,
wait. It's not one of the worst takes in the
fan's actually didn't utter
history.
It on the fan. He uttered it on Twitter. And I remember, like, he just said he's only a top 15 player of all time. And it just was laughably dumb at the time. And it remains laughably dumb. And he's not backing off. I know he's standing right behind
me. He's just watching you.
It's okay. Like, we just had the argument in the break. It's dumb. Yeah. I have had a lot of bad takes in my life. We all have bad takes, right? We get paid to give takes, and some
absolutely.
Of them age horribly.
You swing and miss all the time.
I have no problem if I say something, then turning around being like, you know what? That one, all right, that was a bad take.
To the Joe point, Who is a athlete, maybe not the exact level, but who is the athlete you just don't want to because you don't like them?
Oh, there's a lot of people that I don't like, but you have to acknowledge. Like, it's like I cannot like you and root against you. If you want to tell me that's your deal with Rory, that's fine. I understand why he can maybe rub some people the wrong way.
Sure.
Or if you want to pick against him, that's also, like, I don't have any issue with that.
Yeah.
It's more of the downgrading of what he had accomplished in his career when he was winning tournaments every year at a high level and had already accumulated four major championships.
Well,
like, before this last year, he was already one of the top 10 greatest golfers in the history of the sport. I'm sorry, Harold Varnin or whatever your name was in 1904. You're not as good as Rory McIlroy. So it's just like at the time it was a bad take and it's only aged worse. And I am going to sit back and laugh my ass off every time he's in contention of a major tournament because I do truly believe that he is now freed up and is going to win multiple in the coming years. And I think that number is going to get to set. Whether it gets to 10 or not, I don't know. I know he's not done winning major championships in his career. And so he's going to get to 7, maybe 8, maybe 9. And with every progressing year, the take looks worse and worse and worse.
If you would have given me 2.5 and not 3.5, I might have taken the over because I could see him finishing with 9.
Sure.
And it's not that he can't get 10. It's more just the absurdity of it. Right, like if you would have asked anybody, I mean, ask Mr. Golf in the Northwest over there.
Yeah,
would you see anybody like? I mean, 10 to 15, you're sniffing Tiger. You're not Tiger. You're obviously different than
Tiger.
Dude,
getting to double digits makes you officially the third greatest player in the history of the sport.
Yes,
like in the modern time in the field that he's playing against, if he gets to 10,
ever.
He's the third greatest player, and it's not even a debate. It's not up for conversation.
I don't.
It's gone.
I don't know if anybody would have said yes to that. And that's why I'm still going to sit here and go, oh, he finished with 9? Yeah, sure.
Here, yeah.
2.5, I may take the over. 3.5, I'm just kind of pressing luck, field, time.
Here,
you know?
The point that I've always tried to make, and this was the debate I used to have with Joe, when he would just argue that Rory's not clutch and he's not going to win one, and he had already won 4. So it was a dumb argument to begin with. If you didn't think he was going to win one going forward because he hadn't in 10 years, okay, like, I'll listen to that.
Yeah,
but to
or
say
if you think he's too much in his head now.
Right, or like this is something he can't overcome. Like,
but
okay,
don't tell me he doesn't have the game.
He's won 4. He had already won 4 majors.
The clutch thing is ridiculous
but
to me in sports.
The larger point was, and this might sound... It was a casual take because it's not taking the entire picture into consideration. If you're a Brooks Koepka and you go 10 years without winning a major, it's an issue because why? Brooks Koepka doesn't give a rat's ass about anything else that is happening.
Hmm.
When was the last time Brooks Koepka won a tournament that was not a major championship?
Yeah,
I couldn't tell you off the top of my head.
Know.
So in all those 10 years that Rory was not winning a major, what was he?
He was still winning tournaments.
He was a top 2 or 3 player in the world winning tournaments every year.
Leading Europe to Ryder Cup wins.
Winning Ryder Cups and player championships. And like it wasn't like he was Jordan Spieth and he fell off the earth.
Yeah, he was still a top 3 ranked player in the world.
For the entire time. And so it was a casual take of he's not good anymore. Or he's just a borderline top 15. You're not watching. You're just following the results of majors and saying he can't get it done. That's why it was a bad take at the time, and it's only gotten worse.
Yeah,
I think you're calling Joe Fish ignorant. That's what
I mean. Yeah, in all-time great golf debates, I am.
Yeah.
You can not like him. You can root against him. You can feel
you
however.
You can't deny it.
You can hate him. I don't care, but to deny his greatness is laughable.
I always find the, in any sport, golf, doesn't matter, basketball, I find the athlete that's big and is number one in their sport or talked about as that, I find that when they win a championship, so golf has obviously got 4 of them versus like the Super Bowl or the finals.
Right.
I just find it odd that when they've accomplished that feat, we still will come back if they don't win it and say not clutch.
Yeah. Right, they already have.
What are you talking about? They've literally been to the mountaintop.
LeBron, it's not Le Clutch.
Yeah, it's
he
it's
lost
LeChoke.
All those finals.
It's LeChoke.
Who
he's
cares about the ones
6.
He won? But
right, and I'm just like, you do know he's won at least a minimum of one championship.
Yeah,
Rory not being clutch with 4 was. That, for me, you cannot like Rory the person for whatever reasons you don't like him. It's the not clutch thing, and he had 4 major championships.
Yes, it just was always a dumb
what
take
are we
to
doing
begin
here?
With. So, I don't, like, I'm a big Rory guy. I always will be. I appreciate his candor, his honesty. He is refreshing. When you listen to Rory press conferences.
He defended the sport there for a long time.
He was stood up for the PGA Tour, and he became their sacrificial lamb. Like, they threw him out to dry.
Yeah, I don't think him and...
Jay Monahan did not have a great ending to their relationship, and that's why he's gone and not the commission anymore. I will always root for him. I found myself at moments yesterday where I'm like, I mean, he won one last year. Rosie getting one would be so cool. Or yeah. some of the others. Like, I leaned into the other storylines, and then in the back of my mind, all I could think about was Joe Fisher, and I thought, you know what? No. Yeah. No. I bet on Rory pre-tournament. I double-dipped when he was down by two yesterday after he double-bogeyed the fourth hole, and I jumped on it because the odds changed, and so I was like, yeah, I'm all in on this cat again, and he got it done for me again, and I won a lot of money again on Rory McIlroy.
Yeah.
And I just, all I could think about was that take, and now every time he wins one, oh, buddy, it's going to be fun. And guess what? He's going to win some more. I think he wins one more this year. There's your hot take of the day.
I'd be cool to see him do it, man. It's already been a great story. Also, like, I can't wait for Brooksy to keep playing at the PGA and getting back to everything. I thought he had a good week in considering.
Yeah, I just think he needs more competition. And
Bryson's going to be on this tour next season.
Oh, Bryson's
right?
not
he's
going
gonna
anywhere
be in the majors.
Either.
So yeah. I just, the field is, it's exciting.
Great,
there's definitely some duddy golfers with no personality. And Scotty can be that at times. But just the pure excellence you're seeing, the way that some of these guys are golfing, God, it makes every major championship super exciting.
It's going to be fun, man. It was fun this weekend. All right, I promise that's enough golf talk, but God, does it feel good to have golf have
I think
moment,
I think post the Masters, when it's an interesting or great one, is probably your second favorite show of the
it's
year.
It's up there.
Yeah.
Big Duck win Monday.
Yep.
Oh, I was going to say Super Bowl.
Super Bowl
show.
Monday.
Love Super Bowl.
I love Super Bowl Monday, Big Duck Monday, and a awesome Masters good outcome Monday.
Wait till we get Game 1 upset win Monday Blazers Spurs next week, buddy. A week from now.
Monday morning.
Look at us.
Hey, don't put the cart before the horse. Got to beat Phoenix tomorrow night. We'll see if they do. We'll have a lot on that game tomorrow. How do we judge one rookie season, and where does he go from here in a really tough conference? We'll talk about that as we close up the show next on The Fan.
I'm Anna Garcia, host of True Crime News, the podcast. Every week, we bring you in-depth coverage on cases making headlines, as well as those that go under the radar. Tune in for Murders That Defy Explanation, Mystery Seeking Exploration, and Shocking Secrets That Will Leave You Breathless. Each week, we honor the victims by going beyond the salacious in our search for justice. Crime never stops, and neither do we. Listen to True Crime News, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, I'm done yelling about Rory McIlroy, I promise. I still love you, Joe, although it's a horrific take.
Congratulations to Mark Jones on a great run at ESPN.
Yeah, was that his own doing?
I believe so.
Okay. Contract was up,
a non-renewed
and they weren't
deal.
Renewing
he
it.
Is okay. Older than I thought. And
oh,
I know
yeah.
he's been in my life a long time.
How old is Mark Jones?
36 years of broadcasting with ESPN.
He is 64.
Whoa! Yeah.
He looks great.
He looks
fantastic. Incredible God, for
he
64.
He started the NBA Today show way back in the day in ESPN.
NBA wow. Today. Did he do that with Fred Carter? Or am I thinking the nighttime
one? He was by
one?
Himself initially. It was just him by himself for a while.
The Iron Unkind.
My biggest disappointment of Mark Jones in the latter years at ESPN was that he didn't get to call the Oregon-Colorado game because he was such a big Deion. He got on a handful
Love
of those
Deion.
Colorado calls.
Oh, yeah.
And he was all about it, which it was a moment in the time. I don't blame him at all. I wish he would have been on the call for that game because that was a fun one. But I've appreciated Mark Jones for a long time. He's still the guy for the Kings, right? Is he still the voice of the Kings?
I don't know if he's still doing that.
I thought he was just the third guy for ESPN. Maybe he's also...
Because a lot of these guys have their actual... I always felt like he was the voice of the Kings for some reason.
He
but
took
I don't
that
watch
a
League
couple
Pass.
Years ago.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So maybe that's what he'll go back to doing. Great run, though. I mean, he's done NBA, college football. He's done it all for a long time. Mark Jones not coming back at ESPN. One player who is unquestionably going to win an award at the end of the season, had their season come to an end. He played 70 games this year.
Yep.
Final numbers, 21 points, just shy of 7 rebounds and 4.5 assists per game. Only 29% from three, but 47% from the floor, and looked the part, I would say, early in his career. And I think the reason I'm bringing it up is, one, Cooper Flagg and what it means for Dallas, but also connecting it to the Western Conference, because we can feel however we want to feel about Portland taking a step. The most difficult thing in the back of my mind in all this is, all right, who do we got in the West? You got Jokic not going anywhere in Denver. I got SGA about to win his second straight MVP. Yeah. I got Anthony Edwards in Minnesota. I got Victor Wembanyama in San Antonio. You go up and down the list. And I'm curious where we think Cooper Flagg will rank in that and what it – where he's going to lead. Do they become a team immediately next year that takes one of these year two player bumps? Does it take them a year like San Antonio? Because it's year three for Wemby, right?
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
Year three for Wemby of just what I we make of his rookie
still
year.
They
where
need
he
more
goes.
On that roster before they can, the team can take a serious jump.
Got to get another good draft pick this year.
Yeah. And that's assuming Kyrie comes back and he's most of what he was before.
You know, Dallas is weird. We didn't get to the Cuban stuff, but Cuban coming out and saying he regrets selling to them because he didn't know the Luka thing was going to happen,
right.
And then they ended up firing Nico, and
he was supposed to have a say, right, when he sold the team?
He thought he was going to be part of the process, and they cut him out.
The problem.
Now, that's a little naive,
all these
I think,
owners say
part.
That. I'm still going to be around until this date, and then they never are. Like, the other team bought it. Like, get out of here.
We have that with the Vulcans right now, where for another year and a half, they're going to own, what, 18% of the team or whatever?
The Celtics guy said this, though. He's like, I'm selling, and I'll be around for another year. He was gone within, like, 3 weeks after it was officially sold.
Send me my check of whatever revenue we're generating, and I'm good.
I find them a bit hard to trust. Mm. They're also interesting because of how good Cooper is when he plays. I know he sprained his ankle last night, and he came back, and we'll see if he wins Rookie of the Year if they give it to Knipple.
Who do you think it won? Do you think it'll be Flag?
I think Knipple's going to get it.
You think Knipple will get it? Okay.
I do. I think the time missed. Knipple playing the way he did.
They're a playoff team, non-playoff team. Does that matter to you?
Leading the NBA in threes. They're a play-in team, they'll be a playoff team. I could be wrong on that because Flag was special when he played. Anytime you have one of these guys, saying what he's going to be by year three is a difficult task. I think it's more about what do you put around him and how good is Kyrie when he comes back. If Kyrie doesn't lose much ground in what he was before the injury, Dallas can be in the thick of this conversation by next year. And also, let's see what happens in the draft.
Right.
Maybe they hit the lottery and maybe they end up with a Cam Boozer.
Can you imagine if they get it back-to-back years?
DeBonso. Like, that would be insane. So I think a lot of it just hinges on what they end up doing in the lottery. But in terms of having that piece, man, what they are in 2 years from now, why would you not put them in consideration to be Minnesota with Anthony Edwards and the way he ascended?
Right.
Wemby's different. Wemby is like historically just an entirely different animal.
Unicorn.
But if you put things around Cooper Flagg that make sense and Kyrie Irving is there and not, you know, distracted by off-court stuff, Dallas is going to be right in our crosshairs as well. So
I would even say as soon as next year, if they get Kyrie back and Flag takes another step and you add you would assume impact player in the draft, and now I'm guessing that they have money to, you know, movement to make in the offseason, getting off the Anthony Davis deal, right? And so they're like, there's some flexibility there. Like, that's immediately a team next year, especially with their limiting the tanking in the NBA and maybe taking some of the incentive away from that. Like, you're going to get teams to try and win more next year, and they're going to be one of them.
I think that's the hardest part to have to navigate for Joe and company is, like, whatever they end up doing this year, 7 seed, 8 seed, losing the playoffs. However that goes, you have to evaluate the full landscape. So, like, I want them to play the Spurs because I think the Spurs are the team for them to set the bar and say, that's in our way, right? Yep. The Thunder could very well repeat, but I look at the Spurs, the Thunder are going nowhere. Minnesota with Ant Edwards, how do they rebuild? The Lakers might have a max salary slot open,
and Luka Doncic
taking a huge step this year. We'll see what Houston does. You start rattling off the laundry list. Phoenix, I would assume they took a step this year. I'm going to guess that they're going to continue to build and be okay.
Yeah.
And Dallas is not even in this, and they're right there for me of how you think about the Western Conference playoff picture going forward.
Yeah. It's interesting, man. He was really fun to watch. I saw he got banged up yesterday in his last game. Good for him playing all the way down to the buzzer. 70 games under his belt as a rookie. And one of those, it's not another one that leaves us wondering, God, what if?
This says, Flag has passed Knipple in the Rookie of the Year lottery odds. Knipple's a plus 159. He is a minus 143.
I mean, that's actually not bad odds on Knipple if you're giving me plus money there, to your point.
That's a great Rookie of the Year race. We all thought that was going to end up being Flag and everybody else.
Yeah.
And it ended up being a really good rookie class.
How about Knipple, man? Get yourself a nipple. That will do it for us, folks. Tomorrow night.
Yeah.
Oh, buddy.
Oh,
tomorrow's show. Do we do 4 hours of preview?
I don't know. Do we have to start?
We might have to do 4 hours. Pre.
We going to Phoenix?
We might have to fly. Where's the boss man? Get him on the horn.
I don't know.
Put us on a bird.
We'll
put us to Phoenix.
Let's go down to the land of the valley.
You pay for our tee time. We'll cover the game. We'll do the show. You know,
we won't play golf. We will play golf.
Cover the tee time.
We'll watch the game on our phone from a golf course.
But we'll have time after the show.
Yeah, we will.
Because show ends at 10. We can get a noon tea time and be back.
Perfect.
For tip at 7.
Yes, 7 p.m. tip. Let's make it happen, boss man. Get on it. It'll be fun tomorrow. Blazers and Suns playing games. We'll talk about that. A lot of Masters conversation today. Rory wins back-to-back green jackets. Little NFL draft conversation lifted in there. And then Blazers ending their regular season. And so that is your show. Thanks for being part of our Monday. If you missed it, go check the podcast, 1051thefan.com, at Turton Spring and at 1051thefan on Twitter. Thanks for watching on YouTube if you did earlier. Hopefully you still subscribe to the channel. And we will talk to you tomorrow at 6 a.m. The Firm, Harrison Marangas next. Listen to 1051 FM The Fan. Hey. What the matter with
The podcast Campus Files is back with more stories of scandal, crime, and intrigue on college campuses.
It is not hard to destroy a college.
It's almost like a university under siege.
Listen to and follow Campus Files, available now wherever you get your podcasts.